From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of March, 2025. It's National Ag Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com. We'll hear from one of the winners of the National Ag Day Essay Contest. She happens to hail from the great state of Illinois. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll take up the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton at Strategic Farm Marketing and hear about the weather forecast, too, that with Don Day at Day Weather, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
There is a late-breaking announcement for the day. The ARA, or American Relief Act funding, now called ECAP, the $10 billion approved by Congress in the lame duck session, will be released. Farmers should expect to see a pre-filled-out form in their mailboxes soon. Wednesday is the beginning of the sign-up, but you can wait for the form. The payment for corn is $42.91 an acre. The payment for soybeans, $29.76, and wheat, $30.69. May corn in Chicago settled today down 2.25 cents. It finished at $4.58¾. The July futures at $4.68, a settlement price down 2, and December futures at $4.54¼, up 0.25 cents. May beans, $10.12¾, down 2¾. July 2¾ lower, $10.26½, and November futures $10.15½ a bushel, 3 cents lower. Bean meal futures off $4.40. The bean oil 44 cents higher. Wheat futures in the soft red at 582 for the July harvest month, down 3 cents. The hard red wheat at 619 in the July, a penny and a quarter higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $201 per 100 pounds, 7.5 cents lower for the day. Feeder cattle at 285.25, a nickel lower, and lean hogs were down $1.77½ at $97.35. Crude oil, $66.73 a barrel, 64 cents lower. Diesel fuel, just about unchanged at 2.15¾ cents per gallon, and gasoline at $2.17, just about a penny lower. Naomi Bloom now joins us. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Hi, Naomi. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
What'd you see in the marketplace today?
Well, not much of anything. It was a very quiet day for the grain markets with two-sided trade action. Not a lot for fresh news that came out on the overnight. We just continue to, I feel like, wait and watch for that March 31st quarterly stocks and planted acreage report. And until then, it just might be some quiet sideways trade in the days leading up to that report.
What are your expectations for the March 31 figures?
Well, I think we're going to finally see a friendly corn number on the carryout side of things for old crop. The question, of course, will be, you know, how big is that increased acreage going to be for the December corn and how that will affect the December corn price? The market is definitely thinking it's going to be, you know, 3 million additional acres at least, but how high could they go is what the question will be. And then, of course, to see what they do with the soybean acre number, we're looking for about 3 million less soybean acres from last year. And as soon as that report comes out, just a couple days after that, we have to go into round three of trade war tariff news with Mexico and other countries. So plenty of things to be watching and mindful of. But that next big USDA report on March 31st is the piece of the puzzle that we're all waiting for next.
And so you're rolling the grain stocks figures forward into the April WASDE release. What is it on the demand side that you think you will see there? And what's pushing the usage along? Is it ethanol? Is it feed consumption? All of the above?
Well, I think we're going to see an addition to ethanol demand, a slight addition, and to the export market for the old crop, just because our export sales and inspections have been running so much ahead of pace. I feel like we're going to continue to see that as supportive news then just in the coming USDA reports. And it's very similar to what had happened in 2020 going into 2021. And it was the quarterly stocks report that really started the move higher for the markets. But again, a little bit different than 2021 from the standpoint of trade and tariffs being an issue. But the ending stock situation might be similar. 1.5 billion bushel carryout, maybe looking to go lower, just depending on what the USDA says in a couple weeks.
So I'm wondering, because this is the on-farm, off-farm numbers for those grain stocks figures, and there was so much grain that was marketed in the month of January through parts of February. Will March 1 catch all of that and put it in the right places, or will there be some in transit that's lost along the way?
Well, that is definitely something to be mindful of. So maybe we get a supportive number on the 31st, and then when we actually get into the April WASDE and then the May WASDE, see some additional information come to light that would be supportive for the old crop.
Okay, so what else are you watching at this time?
Keeping an eye on the global weather. It's been, of course, a little bit drier in Brazil, and now we're starting to hear of dry weather conditions in the Black Sea region. So that's very important to be monitoring in terms of how it'll affect wheat production, in terms of how it'll affect second crop corn production in Brazil. And then, of course, it's been dry in our Midwest, and there's some potential storms coming through this week, but how much precipitation actually falls is going to be monitored. And then switching gears over to the livestock sector, we do have a cattle on feed report coming up on Friday, and we have live cattle and feeder cattle prices back up to the highs from earlier this winter. So we're going to need to see an over-the-top friendly report and some additional friendly cash news to see the market go higher than that. Otherwise, cattle futures and feeder cattle futures might be ready to see a little bit of profit-taking action, just depending on what that cattle on feed report says Friday afternoon.
How should farmers think about the ad hoc dollars that they'll be getting in the mail soon, the numbers that we talked about already from the ARA, the lame duck session, something like $30 for wheat, $43 for corn, about $30 for soybeans per acre. How should they take that into their marketing plans?
Well, I think that what it does is help bridge a gap between where the markets are at now and some sort of a potential late spring or summer rally where they can continue to sell old crop and do some forward contracting. It's not going to be a market replacer or a financial replacer to make people forget about marketing. You know, we're going into that season where a lot of times between Mother's Day and Father's Day is when we get our seasonal rally for corn and soybeans. And that's just when farmers are busiest in the fields. So it'll be, again, it's a nice little bridge to gap any financial needs that could be out there for the short term, but it's not a replacement for marketing and stay on your toes. And just again, when you're busiest in the fields is a lot of times when we get some sort of a weather market to get this market pushing higher. And that's your opportunity to really focus on the cash sales.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom, of course, is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. She is in West Bend, Wisconsin. It's National Ag Day, and the Agriculture Council of America has announced the 2025 National Ag Day winners. They include Isabella Newell of Waltonville, that's near Mount Vernon, Illinois. The theme for this year's competition was Why Food Security Equals National Security. I pulled the audio from Isabella's video for you to hear.
Food security equals national security because having sufficient food supply keeps society in check. Alfred Henry Lewis observed in 1906, there are only 9 meals between humankind and anarchy. Scarcity of food can lead to an uncivilized society, which can lead to a threat to national security. Food security is paramount to a successful, functioning nation or society. Food is a resource shared across a nation, and any issue or bacteria that is in the food will affect all citizens in the country. Not only does food need to be safe, but it should also be available to everyone in the nation. Safe and available food is necessary for citizens to function. When citizens are healthy and able to function, they will be able to support the country, defend the country, and help the country thrive. Food security is the ability of a nation to feed its people. A nation that cannot provide for its people is not a secure nation. The inability of agriculture to provide enough food for its people opens the door to many security threats. Without food security, the U.S. would go dependent on external products. Without agriculture, the U.S. could not and would not be what it is today.
If you'd like to watch Isabella Newell's winning entry into the National Ag Day Video Essay Contest, you may do so at agday.org. That's agday, all one word, .org. Hers will be one of the three winning entries to be shown, by the way, at the USDA building in Washington, D.C. during today's National Ag Day celebration. Hey, congratulations to Isabella. The Ag Day Essay Contest is sponsored by CHS, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, Farm Progress, and Successful Farming. In its 52nd year, National Ag Day encourages every American to understand how food and fiber products are produced, appreciate the role agriculture plays in providing safe, abundant, and affordable products, value the essential role of agriculture in maintaining a strong economy, and acknowledge and consider career opportunities in agriculture, food, and fiber industries. Certainly, we here on the University of Illinois campus with Illinois Extension and the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences echo those lifelong learning goals. As we do each Tuesday, let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies. Dave Chatterton is here. He's from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Hi, Dave. Thank you for being with us. I just think there's an awful lot that we need to pay attention to within the energy sector. What have you been watching most closely in the last month or so?
Yeah, Todd, it's been kind of a tough month here. When you look at those highs that came into the marketplace, whether it's crude or diesel fuel, back in, early January, or even the highs that we had in mid-February, we're, from a crude perspective, we're about $20 below the level that we got to in terms of where the crude high was in mid-Feb, and we've lost about $30 over the last 18 months. And of course, diesel fuel is kind of in that same boat, if you will. Now, we've rebounded a little bit here. We're working on our third day in a row higher on the market. So that's Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. But still on kind of shaky footing. And this is a bigger, I think, argument here about, increased or growing global supply against what is a little bit of a shaky view of the global economy right now, particularly for places like China and in Europe and some other areas that are experiencing a little bit of the drawdown. So we're trying to balance that out. We've seen a number of the major, Wall Street banks, analysts, brokerages go ahead and revised down their price targets here in the last 10 days. So the likes of, Goldman, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Vitol, Governor. So all, kind of beating the same drum here and talking about this supply somewhat overwhelming demand. On the other side of that, of course, we have the geopolitical what if of, Trump sanctioning Iran or something happening in the Mideast and, to deal with, but it's been a heavy market here of late, a little bit of recovery here lately, but it still feels like we're maybe exploring the downside a little bit more.
So what is it about the supply and demand tables that are out of sync at this point? Is it the demand or projected demand is lower? Is that the supply continues to come in too fast? Combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. The global growth metrics here, whether, depending on whose numbers you use, we're still growing and fuel demand is still projected to grow, but it's projected to grow at a slower rate, partially due to, a somewhat, poor economic performance on a macro level, and somewhat due to just general demographics, while supply is continuing to go up. If you look at U.S. supply, we're still setting records in terms of our crude oil in production. You look at what's happening with OPEC Plus, they've agreed to now start bringing back the production that they've held off the market for the better part of 3 years. And they're supposed to do that on a monthly basis through September of 26. And at the end of that process, that equals about a little over 2 million additional barrels per day coming onto the marketplace. And, they've got the Trump in the background with the, the drill baby drill mantra, I guess we'll call it, Todd. And certainly he has made clear from the campaign to the inauguration day through, this part of his presidency that he is in favor of lowering energy prices. And he's gotten that wish to a degree so far. He's gotten, OPEC to sign on to that. We're having a meeting between Putin and Trump, this week that, who knows what happens, but there's some talk that the sanctions may be lifted or lightened against Russia, bringing more oil onto the marketplace. So that supply side is really what's won the battle here in terms of price direction of late.
So if it is the supply side, what impact does it have on ethanol and from corn. And also, if you could try to think through what the impact might be of Canada having to tariffing ethanol coming across the border into that nation from the United States. It is the number one export destination, if I remember correctly, for ethanol. And how does that work into the grind? I don't know that I'm worried so much about pricing, but what total grind looks like in projection. And I suppose USDA uses that in the supply and demand tables.
Yeah, they certainly do. We get weekly reports from the EIA every week about, you know, ethanol, you know, usage or ethanol production and in terms of, you know, what it means to corn usage and et cetera. And so you're exactly right. Canada is our number one importer of ethanol, and not by a little bit, by leaps and bounds. And, you know, they import somewhere on the order of 30 to 40% of all U.S. ethanol that gets exported. So that, you know, turf war, tariff war, you know, trade spat, whatever you, whatever term you want to apply, is certainly affecting that. Now, it's been a little bit of a positive here in the near term as we were seeing some of those exports maybe get front loaded ahead of these supposed April tariff deadlines. But in the bigger picture, it's probably a negative, Todd. I think maybe the easiest way to kind of frame that up is if we look at the EIA data from last week, and I'm going from memory here, but I think ethanol stocks have started to balloon a little bit. We're about 6 to 6.2% above where we were at the same point last year. Production of ethanol in the U.S. is up year to date about 3.7%, and blender demand is down about 0.5%. So that tells you that exports have been filling that void. And as that slows down, those stocks have increased. We're actually sitting at record stocks for the Midwest here. And plant margins have hung in there. We're in that, you know, maybe 5 to maybe 10 cents a gallon, you know, net type of a positive margin, but they're not there by a lot. And we've seen ethanol start to recover a little bit of value along with the oil market, but still, you know, relatively speaking, we're not in rich territory here. So I think there's some concern. We're looking at the downtime, you know, plant shutdown and maintenance period here coming up that typically leads into the summer driving season. But the U.S. is just not burning a lot more gasoline than, or blending a lot more gasoline than what we have been over the last several years. So very dependent on that ethanol, or excuse me, on that export market.
And finally, do you have a sense of whether producers and end users should be taking advantage of current lower prices or not, or should they be waiting?
Yeah, I think you can be a little bit patient here, Todd. It's certainly not a bad idea if you don't have any, you know, contracts, nothing in your tank, whatever, you're sitting empty or going into spring planting here and you don't have any bought. You know, like I said, we've been on a pretty good drop here. And so, you know, you look at diesel fuel, the recent lows in terms of board prices or NYMEX prices were around 215. We're about 220 here today. So certainly with inside of those recent lows, the more relevant lows going back last fall are more in that 210 area. So given the scope and size of the decline that we've talked about here earlier in the program, I think the way you want to view it is, you know, is there room for additional downside here? Yeah. I mean, can that be $5 to $10 in crude or maybe, you know, 15 to 25 cents in diesel fuel? Sure. But I think the risk is increasingly becoming skewed to the upside here, just in terms of risk reward when you view it and how far we've fallen and kind of now everybody throwing in the towel and saying we're going to get lower prices. It's often a signal that, you know, we're starting to form a little bit of a bottom here. And, you know, so I think you can be patient, but I wouldn't fall asleep at the wheel here in just a little bit. I think, you know, we're looking to pick up, you know, nickels here, not necessarily, you know, dimes and quarters.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing, joins us once a month here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report to discuss the agricultural energies. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's check now on what's been happening in the growing regions across the planet with the climate and the weather. Don Day is here. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. Thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start in South America. We are either in the beginning of the safrinha crop for Mato Grosso and parts of Brazil, or at the very end of harvest for the soybean crop. Either way, I think they've had dry conditions and they caught up to where they were. What do you see for the rest of this week and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly has been a persistent dryness in some areas, especially in some of those southern areas of Brazil. Now, the prospects for precipitation over the next couple of weeks has gotten better. Just a few days ago, it was looking a little bit drier, but now things are changing a bit down there as their seasons change like ours. Things get a little bit more variable. But it does look like areas you just mentioned are likely going to be looking at some decent chances rain here over the next 7 days, and I think that may stretch out to two weeks.
And do you look further into the month of April then, and, you know, eventually we do shut off the rainy season and dry season arrives? Are you worried about that at all?
Well, I do think that is a concern. You know, the as you mentioned, this is the time of year, that second half of April into May, when things start to quiet down there. So I think they got to make hay here over the next couple of weeks. I think they'll do that. I'm still concerned about some of the southern and southeastern states of Brazil maybe missing out on some of this rain here over the next couple of weeks. So there will be some dry pockets, even with the rain here over the next week or two.
In the United States, start with the hard red winter wheat growing regions and then work your way across the Midwest and maybe talk about that series of storms, severe weather that we have had, and what your expectations might be coming through the end of the month.
Well, for those hard red winter wheat areas, it's going to be kind of feast or famine in terms of where the precipitation is going to be. There's a storm track that is set up here in the month of March. It's gone straight from central northern California right across the central Rockies, then into the Plain States. And so north and south of that storm track, precipitation spotty. While in the heart of that storm track, these storms have been producing some winter weather. We're going to see winter storm conditions from northwest Kansas through central and eastern Nebraska through northwest Iowa, southern Minnesota, and Wisconsin. They've got blizzard warnings and winter storm watches in effect along that path. And then the precipitation is going to be spreading into the Corn Belt and Midwest out ahead of that low. And that does include more severe weather, not the outbreak that we had last week and over the weekend, thankfully, but still nonetheless, parts of the eastern Corn Belt, parts of the southern Great Lakes will have severe weather.
So this was in, I think this is storm track number 3 of this series. How many do you think there will be in total?
Well, there's been about 2 a week since March started, and I think that general trend will continue with other little waves coming in behind us through the weekend and into early next week. Now, after that, let's say about a week from today, there's going to be a large area of high pressure that's going to move into the central United States. It's going to bring a little bit of spring, a little bit of a warming trend, and a drying trend as well, although I don't think it will last very long before the storminess starts up again. But I do see a pause in the action for a few days next week over a lot of the U.S.
Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
See you then.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org, or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.